but I hope and trust that we have the will to be saved. His will is for us to be saved, but we got to be willing to be saved. In other words, we got to do what he tells us to do in order to be saved. So thank you for being here on this day, and certainly our prayers, as it has been mentioned, continues to go out to all of those who have recently lost loved ones, the Pope family, the Burden family, the Hampton family. Continue to lift these families up in your prayer. At the conclusion of our lesson this morning, we're going to be singing another song, and we call it an invitation song, a song of encouragement, to encourage anyone to respond to the Lord who needs to. You need to obey the gospel and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. We encourage you to come. If you need to confess of whatever in way of which you've repented, we encourage you to come. Maybe you just need prayers offered on your behalf. We encourage you to come. Whatever your need is, we want to fill that need with the help of God this morning. So please do not hesitate to make your needs or your desires or your wishes known unto us on this day. The scriptures that were read were Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. When you take a close look at this text, you will find that it conveys to us a great attitude that ought to be displayed by every sincere person who is serious about their salvation. If we're serious about our salvation, then we ought to display the same attitude that was displayed by these Berean Jews. I want us this morning then to examine something about these noble Bereans, as the scripture calls them, that ought to encourage us as we seek to please God. And I've said this many times, and you know it so well, I'm sure, from your study of the Bible. If we are going to be saved, if we are going to enter heaven, we're going to have to please God. The thing about that, it's possible to do that. There's nothing impossible about pleasing God. We're going to have to please God if we want to be saved. Looking at the scripture, we see some Jewish believers listening to the word of God being preached by Paul in their synagogue. And of course, this was the custom of the Apostle Paul in New Testament times, as he would go from place to place. He would look for a synagogue. A synagogue, as you know, was the place where the Jewish people came together to read, to worship God. And Paul would always look for a place where he could share the word of God with these individuals. This would be a place where they would be gathered together. This would be an opportune time for him to share the word of God. So Paul now had already preached Christ and him crucified in Thessalonica. He was there, as the scripture teaches us in the earlier parts of this chapter, for three Sabbath days. That was the time when the Jews came together. He was there for three Sabbath days, alleging that Christ must suffer and rise again from the dead. But while being there, he did not receive such a, as I can put it this way, a cool reception. There were some who obeyed, but not as many as in Berea. So opposition rose against his preaching, and the brethren, immediately the Bible says, sent him away to Berea. But did he stop preaching? No. The Bible says in verse number 10 again, very first verse that was read this morning, that he went into the synagogue. where the Jews were assembling. And there he preached the word. This time, he encountered a more receptive audience than he did in Thessalonica. It was all because of a different attitude that these Jews had. Notice again, verse 11 says this: these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. It was their attitude that made all the difference. Let's examine then something about the Berean attitude. And let's see if we can be encouraged to have the same mindset, to have the same disposition, to have the same attitude that these Berean Jews did. Again, if we're serious about our salvation, if we really want to be saved, this is the attitude that we must display, that we see these Berean Jews display. Looking at that verse again, go down to the phrase you see where it says, and search the scriptures daily. Number one, we want to observe about these Berean Jews is that they search the scriptures. They search the scriptures. That's one of the greatest attitudes that one can display, is to find out what God says. Because we can't save ourselves. We don't know what it takes to save ourselves. We need to find out what God says about the matter. They search the scriptures. And by their searching the scriptures, it is evident that they believed in the scriptures. You know, a lot of folks don't believe in the scriptures. A lot of folks don't believe in the Bible. You and I do, hopefully all of us, believe in the Bible. But there's a lot of people who don't believe in the scriptures. They believed in the scriptures. They would have never searched them if they had not believed in them. And of course, these would be the Old Testament scriptures. Because the New Testament had not been completed, had not been put together, so Paul was alleging that Christ must suffer and that he must die and that he must rise again from the dead the third day according to the scriptures, as he also would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All of this had been talked about in the Old Testament. These Jews would be familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. They know that the prophets had talked about this. And this is what Paul was alleging. This is what Paul was preaching to these Berean Jews. So they searched the scriptures, the Bible said, to see whether what Paul was saying was so. If we're serious about our salvation this morning, we need to search the scriptures. But many folks, again, even who may be serious about their salvation, they don't necessarily search the scriptures. They will listen to or go to some other source or listen to what somebody else say and then incorporate what somebody else say into their lives. And it may be right, but again, it may be wrong. And it looks like these Berean Jews didn't want to take a chance of Paul being wrong. You hear what I say? They didn't want to take a chance that Paul was telling them something that was wrong. So what did they do? We hear you, Paul. You may have had a good message in our estimation, but that's not good enough just yet. We need to check out what you have told us, because we believe in the scriptures. Now, you're preaching to us from the scriptures. We need to go back there and see if the scriptures say that. That's what you and I need to do. We don't need to just listen to what folks say. We need to check the scriptures. Mama's a good person. We all love Mama. But we can't just listen to what Mama says. Daddy is a good man. But we just can't listen to what Daddy says. Our preacher may be a good man, but we can't just listen to what the preacher says. Elders are good men. Deacons are good men. Bible school teachers are good people. But we can't just listen to what they say. We got to go to the scripture to make sure that what they are saying is right. That's what they did. That's the attitude that they displayed. They searched the scriptures, the Bible says, daily to see whether those things were so. You see, the scriptures are our guide. The scriptures are our guide. David recognized that in Psalm 119, verse 105, a very familiar passage. I'm sure that most of us probably can quote it. He said, "Thy word is a what? A lamp unto our feet, unto my feet. It is a light unto my pathway." Lord, I don't know which way to walk unless you show me. And you show me by your word. That's what he's saying. That's the commentary on that verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my pathway. David recognized the importance of the scripture, the Old Testament scripture. You and I need to, again, recognize the importance of the New Testament scripture, and Old Testament scripture too, but more so the New Testament. Why do I say that? Because we are under the New Testament now. Our salvation must be secured according to what the New Testament teaches. The New Testament is not necessarily contrary to the Old Testament, but it's better. The book of Hebrews tells us it's a better covenant. So we must adhere to the New Testament. And so again, when Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, he says, "And from a child," talking to Timothy, "and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation." And then he says, "All scripture is what? Given by the inspiration of God. And is profitable," or suitable, he says, "for what? Doctrine, for teaching." Not only is it suitable for teaching, but he says it's suitable for reproof. Not only that, but it's suitable for correction and for instruction in righteousness. If you and I want to be right with God, we're going to have to go to the scripture and live our lives according to the scripture. And the scripture was given again for those purposes, and the end results of when one fulfilled those things, the end results, verse 17 says, that the man of God may be perfect, may be complete, may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, everything that God wants us to do to be saved, to please him, is found in the scriptures. Anything outside, anything besides the scripture will not give us salvation. It's got to be according to the scripture, because the scriptures serve as our guide. So these Berean Jews, they wanted to be sure. They wanted to be so sure until they were persistent in going to the scripture. They didn't go to that just one time. You know what the scripture says? They searched the scriptures daily, to see whether those things were so. And you know, if we do the same thing, we can be sure if we follow the scripture. You know why? Because the scriptures, they are sure. They are sure. That's what Peter says. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 19, notice what he says. He says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto, he says, you would do well that you take heed. Church this morning, friends this morning, brothers and sisters this morning, it would be well for us to take heed to what the scripture says. Don't live your life by your feelings, by your ideals. We need to live our lives by what the scripture says. Because one day, we're going to be judged. And we're going to be judged by the scriptures. So, he said, you would do well that you take heed, pay attention to, give attention to, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Now, if all of the lights went out in here this morning, and especially if it was night, since we won't be able to get any light from the windows there if it was night, dark night, all of the lights went out. If somebody would light a flashlight, I bet all of us would take heed to that light to try to get out of this building. This is what this is talking about. You would do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. If we're in a dark place, and if somebody turns on a light, we're going to follow the light. And without the scriptures, brothers and sisters, we are in a dark place. We have no way of getting out of the light, of getting out of the dark. We need the light of the scriptures. No one of the psalmists will say in another place, Psalm 119 and verse 130, I believe it is, said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Give it understanding to the simple. So God's word is light for us. So it would do us good to take heed unto it until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And verse 20 says this, knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21 says this, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man. The prophets in old time, he says, the scripture, the word of God, didn't come, he said, by the will of man, by what they wanted to say. But he says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost told the prophets what to say. The same Holy Ghost in the Old Testament time, the same Holy Ghost told the inspired writers in the New Testament what to say. John chapter 14 points that out. He told them what to say. So these men weren't just writing what they felt. They weren't just writing of their own experiences. They were writing what the Holy Spirit said. So it would do well for us then to give attention to what the scripture says, because we want to get out of darkness. And the only thing that's going to get us out of darkness is the word of God. So we can be sure if we follow the scripture. And again, it is only by the scriptures that we can please God. Why do you say that, Brother Preacher? Brother John, why do you say that? Because the scripture says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Did you hear that? It says without faith, it's impossible to please God. But the question is, how do we arrive at faith? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without the word of God, there is no faith that will please God. So the only way then we can please God is by faith, and we get that faith from the word of God. That's why it's so important for us to give heed, to pay attention to what the scripture says. So again, these Jews wanted to be sure before they followed what the Apostle Paul was encouraging them to do. So number one, they searched the scriptures. Attitude number two. The Bible says again, these were more noble, verse 11, than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. You know what that means? That they had an open mind, ready and willing to receive the word. They were going to go check it out, yes, as we've just talked about. But they had an open mind to receive it. And if their minds had not been open, they never would have gone back to check it out. Because they would have sat there and say, Paul, I don't care how long you talk to us. You can talk to us till you're blue in your face. We don't care what you say. You're just talking in the air. Sometimes, you know, sadly to say, that's sometimes the disposition of some folks' hearts. Saved folks and unsaved folks. Some saved folks got some hearts like that. Some saved folks don't care what the scriptures say. They have set their agenda and they're going to live by their agenda. I hope none of them are in here this morning. But they had an open mind. So they were ready. They were willing to listen to what he had to say. Their minds were open. But again, remember, in the earlier part of the chapter, it was just not a whole lot of folks received the word and obeyed the word. The word in verse number 5 says some. But when you get to verse 12, it says many. There's a difference. Because you didn't have too many open-minded folks up there in Thessalonica. That's why they had to leave. Because there weren't too many open-minded folks there. So these Berean people, Jews, they had an open mind. But you know, in the time of Jesus, the majority of the folks had closed minds. Bible even talked about their hearts were waxed gross. They were dull of hearing because they had preconceived notions, preconceived ideas. Jesus wasn't all who they had envisioned him to be. They were looking for somebody to rescue them, if you will, from the authorities. Jesus didn't come to do that. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, then my servants would fight. That's why he told Peter to put up your sword. Put that sword up, friend. Put that switchblade back in your pocket. My kingdom is not of this world. You're acting like worldly folks. We need to be reminded of that from time to time, not to act like worldly folks. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So my brothers and my sisters, my friends and my neighbors this morning, what's your attitude like? Do you have an open mind? Look at what Jesus said concerning the people in his day and time in Matthew 13. Verse 14, he says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You know what Jesus is saying? I'm not going against these folks' will to open their eyes. You got to do that on your own. To open your ears, you got to do that on your own. Remember I said earlier that the Lord will is for all us people to be saved, but we got to have the will to do. That's what he's talking about. That. These people didn't have a will to follow Jesus and obey him. Their hearts were wax gross. You close your eyes, he says. You close your ears. If you would just open your ears and open your eyes, Jesus says, I could do you some good. The Lord can't do anybody any good spiritually today who have closed minds. We got to have open minds to receive the word of God. Their minds and their hearts were so closed and they were so set in their ways, if you will, that Jesus couldn't do a lot of things in his own country because the folks didn't believe him because their hearts were waxed gross. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Matthew 13, again, verse number 54, the Bible says, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence has this man all these things? And they were, what? Offended in him. This man grew up in Nazareth. We knew his daddy. His daddy was a carpenter. And in New Testament times, carpentry was a trade that was basically looked down on. It was at the low totem pole, if you will. Not today. Not what they charge you now to build that building out there, Brother Malone. But in those days, carpentry was a low trade. It was nothing really to really look forward to, if you will. This man's daddy is just a carpenter, talking about Joseph, his earthly father. And so they were offended at him. We know his brothers. We know his sister. He grew up in Nazareth. He just, you know, he's really nobody. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save or except in his own country and in his own house. And the Bible says in verse 58, what? And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. If we don't have faith and don't believe in Jesus, he can't help us. He cannot help us. And the reason why many people don't have faith and believe in Jesus and won't follow Jesus because they don't have an open mind. They are not willing to go to the scriptures and see what the Lord says. They were blinded again by their own preconceived ideas. They were not willing to weigh the evidence. The Bereans, they were willing. They were willing to weigh the evidence. Well, I know you said it, Paul. Let's go here and see. Is that exactly what it is? They were willing to weigh the evidence. They wanted to know the truth. They had the attitude that Cornelius had. Y'all remember him, Acts chapter 10? When Peter got there, Cornelius says, we are all here present before God to hear what God had to say. He had an open mind. We need to always maintain an open mind to hear what the Word of God has to say. So number one, attitude number one, again, they searched the scriptures. Attitude number two, or point number two, they had an open mind. And number three, look at what verse number 12 says, Acts 17. Therefore, for this reason, the word therefore means for this reason. Again, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. For this reason, therefore, many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Verse 5 again says some. Verse 12 says, many. The attitude made all the difference. So point number three then, they became obedient. That word believe there meant that they believed what they heard and they obeyed what they heard. Time and time again in the book of Acts, you see that word, multitudes believed. 5,000 believed. So many believed. Carries the idea that they believed what they heard and they obeyed the word of God. So we could say many of them obeyed the Lord. Same thing, no difference. Many of them became obedient to what they learned from the scriptures. I wonder today what a better world it would be if folks would obey what they learn from the Scripture. But the reason why so many folks don't learn from the Scripture is because, as I said already, so many folks don't believe in the Scriptures. They think they have a right to live their lives any way they want to. If I want to hate you, that's all right. You know, that's the way so many folks believe. But if folks just would believe the Scriptures and live their lives by the Scripture, what a better world this would be. So these Berean Jews, they became obedient to what they learned from the Scriptures. True faith, true belief in the Word of God. I want you to hear what I'm saying. I'm saying true belief, honest belief, sincere faith in the Word of God will always produce the right action. Did you hear what I say? If we truly believe in the Word of God and put that in practice in our lives, it's going to always produce the right action. So again, I mentioned hatred. If I truly believe in the Word of God, I'm not going to go around hating folks. If I truly believe in the Word of God, I'm not going to go around refusing to forgive folks. If I truly believe in the Word of God, I'm not going to go around being selfish. If I truly believe in the Word of God, I'm not going to go around not loving folks. Why? Because the Word of God teaches me that I'm to do all of those things in a positive manner. So when these Jews believed what Paul said, after they went and checked it out, they obeyed the gospel of Christ. True belief, true faith, always produce the right action. You see, we recognize, as James would write to his hearers in his day and time, in James chapter 2, in verse number 17, even so faith, if it have not works, he says, is dead being alone. If I don't do what the Word says, dead faith. Which means it's not really honest and sincere and true faith in the Word of God. Verse number 24 says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. You see, a faith only is really not a true faith. That's not a true faith. True faith will always produce the right action. It will produce works and the works that God wants us to do. James chapter 1 and verse number 21, the Bible says this, wherefore lay aside all superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. These Berean Jews could have easily checked out the Scripture, listened to Paul preach, and then went on about their merry way and kept on living the way they were. They realize that if I'm going to please God, I cannot just listen to the sermon. I cannot go back home and study my notes and read the Scriptures that the preacher, that the teacher gave in the sermon or in the class and keep on doing, living my life the way I want to. I got to put these things in practice. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. God will, as I close this morning, is that all of us have the same attitude that these Bereans had. And I would guarantee you, if we have the same attitude, we're going to please God. And if we please God, we're going to be saved. Go to the Scripture and check it out. I want to put a couple of scriptures up here before I close. And I want to encourage you to do just what the Bereans did. Check them out. God wants everybody to be saved, but God has a plan for saving everybody. And that plan is through his church. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the scripture says that he has one body. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. Look at what the scripture says. There is one body. Now, that's what I just said it. Now we go to the scripture. Is it so? Is what I said was so? That's what the scripture says. There is one body. But not only is there one body, the body is the church. I said that. Let's go to the scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, 23. What does the scripture say up there? And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Ephesians 4, 4, that we just searched the scriptures. One body. Ephesians 1, verse specifically verse 23 says, the latter part of 22 and verse 23 says, the church which is his body. So if there's one body, one church. Isn't that what Jesus said? I will build my church. He never said I'll build my churches. He said I will build my churches. My church, brother. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He didn't say against them. But not only that, God or the Lord wants everybody to be members of the same body. I said that. Let's go to Scripture. Ephesians 3 and verse 6. The Bible says what? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. In biblical times, in New Testament times, if you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. So that includes all races. All people. So that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. God's will is for everybody to be members of the same body. We've already established that the body is the church. God wants everybody to be members of the same church. Why? Because, again, he wants to save everybody. And he saves everybody in that one church. So when a person is saved, the Lord adds them to the church. Acts 2 and verse 47. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Which church does he add them to? He's added them to the one that Jesus says, I'm going to build and did build. Again, God wants everybody to be saved. He has to save to the church because Jesus is the Savior of the church. Ephesians 5 and verse 23. Let's go to the scripture. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. So having said all of that, if you're not a member of the body, the church, the one church that Jesus promised to build and did build, it is evident from the scriptures that you're not saved. The question you and I need to ask ourselves, are we members of that church, that body, that Jesus purchased on the cross of Calvary? He purchased one. Realizing that then, this idea that any church will do doesn't hold water. A lot of folks will say, go to the church of your choice. That's not the proper statement to make. We need to go to the church of Christ's choice. And Christ only has one church. Are you a member of that one church? The one that you can read about in the scripture? Can you go to the scripture and find the church that you're a member of? If you can't, you ought to give it up. You ought to get out of it and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember, these were Jews. They were religious folks. They had a, quote, their religion was Jewish religion. But that had gone by the wayside when Jesus died on the cross. They need to be members of the church, the body of Christ, so that they could be saved. And that's what all of us need to be today, a member of the church of Christ. And we need to be a faithful member of the church of Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 5, verse 89, though he was son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that do what? Obey him. Who are you going to save, Jesus? All them. Which all them? All them that obey you. That's who I'm going to save. Again, we can't obey the Lord on our feelings, on our thoughts, on our imagination, on what somebody else say. We're going to have to obey the Lord on what he says. Because in the end, what he says is going to face us. John 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, he that rejected me and received not my word has one that judges him. The words that I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day. And we can go to the scripture, to the New Testament, and find what Jesus has said to us. Let me just say this before I quit. Jesus didn't say to us his words in red. Let me explain what I mean. A lot of folks say, well, Brother Travis, a lot of folks say, well, it's not written in red. Jesus didn't say that because whatever Jesus says is written in red. No. Man put it in red. What's in red are the direct quotes, if you will, that came from Jesus as they were inspired to write. But all of what they wrote was inspired by the Spirit that Jesus sent back to guide the apostles and the men of inspiration. So all of the words are Jesus' words. So that's what he means. If you reject not just what man put in red, but if you reject what's written in black, in the book of Acts that we read, the passage we were studying from this morning, they don't show up in any Bible that I've seen in red. They always show up in black or whatever the other color is. So if you reject this, Jesus says, you're going to be judged by it. Jesus says, I didn't speak of myself, but the one that sent me gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. So whatever we have to obey, it came from Jesus. It came from God. Are you here then this morning? Do you really and truly have the Berean attitude that you're going to search the scripture, you're going to have an open mind, and you're going to become obedient to what you find in the scripture? If you're here and have that kind of mind this morning, having not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to come. Come by hearing and believe the gospel, repenting of your past sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, and then going down in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of sin. When you do that again, the Lord will add you to his church. Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, would you come? Are you a member of the body? But somehow you live in your life like you want to. You're ignoring what's in the scripture. Or maybe you're not even going to the scripture. That's why, again, I've said this before, why so many mistakes are made in our lives many times, because we don't go to the scripture. We don't check out to see what I'm doing, whether God approves of that according to the scripture. We do it because it feels good, it looks good, it tastes good. But everything that feels good, looks good, and tastes good is not necessarily good. Ask Miss Adam or Miss Eve. That fruit was present to the eye, but it wasn't good. Because God said, don't touch the tree. Because the day you eat off it, you'll surely die. So let's live by what God says. So if you need to confess up in an erring way, what you repented of, what you come. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is this morning, while we're standing, while we're singing, we beg you to come. Hey, I should never forget after I've wandered the darkness away. Yeah.